Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camphouse and make yourself at home.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
And a great place to get to know more about the Dallas Safari Club and the great work that the DSC does worldwide, come see us at the annual convention and expo. It is an incredible get-together for sportsmen, conservationists, men and women that enjoy God's great outdoors. Folks come from all over the globe, literally. It'll be in Dallas at the Convention Center, downtown Dallas, January 9 through 12. Hope to see you there. Hey, welcome to the Camp House at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. I'm Billy Kender, and you are a welcome guest. Sure glad you're here. The front door to the old Camp House is brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care is a canine probiotic that has qualities that very gently calm the overactive dog over time. It's not a miracle pill or a drug. It gently works over time to calm the overbarker, the overjumper. If that's your dog, they could sure benefit from Calming Care. Have a conversation with your vet about it. Hey, we're celebrating fall today for outdoorsmen. Yeah, summer and winter are awesome. We don't stop. We keep going. But spring and fall, the renewal and the harvest, it's just hard to beat. The weather's cooler. The critters are moving. The seasons are opening. And that's something to celebrate. And no matter what you like to do, if you're a fisherman, a hunter, a bird watcher, it's a great time of year. And we are going to revisit some conversations that we've had with some pretty sharp outdoorsmen over the years today. Hall of Fame bass fisherman Mark Davis and Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan are going to talk to us about fall bass fishing. Ray Eye is a turkey hunting legend, and he's going to talk to us specifically about hunting turkeys in the fall. Fall is Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie's favorite time to chase specks. He'll tell us how he goes about it. The hot coffee tastes better in the fall, so pour yourself a cup and make yourself at home. You're in camp with us today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Our old camp house storyteller Ray Sasser could take a hunting, fishing, or outdoor scenario and transfer that to paper in a way that was uncanny. Extremely talented guy, and he once wrote about fall.
I'm a fall guy. Always have been, and I guess I always will be. Here are six things I love about the fall. Number one, the sounds of migrating birds as they pass high, riding a north wind and following an evolutionary GPS for points south. The most audible are snow geese, yelping insanely like the ghosts of Quanah Parker's last band of wild Comanches. Sandhill cranes are a close second with their trilling calls that carry so far you can barely see the giant birds against a blue sky swept clean by a cool wind. Number two, cold weather that's a tonic for the searing summer heat. I've always said that I'd never live anywhere but Texas. I've got to admit that the summer of 2011 gave me momentary second thoughts. The first north wind refreshed me, though, woke me up, and brought me back to my senses. Number three, a frosty morning in a deer blind. The tiny ice crystals momentarily reflecting like diamonds in the sun's first rays, then disappearing before you can even feel the subtle warmth that melted them. Number four, mist rising from the surface of a calm lake on a morning when the water is warmer than the air. It's best when a big old bass is wallowing to disrupt the glassy surface, or a flock of green-winged teal suddenly appear from out of the mist and bank low over the decoys, flying in perfect formation like tiny jet airplanes. Number five, the adrenaline rush when a white-tailed buck unexpectedly steps out of the brush into a spot of early morning sunlight that looks like he's the leading man on a prickly stage of cactus and mesquite. In a way, he is. Remember that it only takes a few seconds for a deer hunt to go from really bad to really good. Number six, the crackle of a wood fire with good friends crowding in to warm first their backsides, then their front sides, like they're making cowboy toast. Some like it toastier than others, but they all have one thing in common. It's the memory of outdoor days gone by and the anticipation of those yet to come.
I sure miss him. Ray Sasser, wrote for the Dallas Morning News for more than three decades. He also put 11 books out there with his spectacular photography and writing, all concerning God's great outdoors. I highly recommend a copy for the deer blind or that comfortable chair by the fire. Hey, Fortiflora is America's number one canine probiotic. All of our dogs from time to time suffer from GI upset. Bird dogs at the end of a hard day's work or traveling with any of our dogs, changes in water, changes in routine, maybe they got into the trash. It can all bring on GI upset, and Fortiflora fixes that. Talk to the folks at Chewy.com, and they'll ship the Fortiflora directly to your door. Fortiflora. Hey, my sincere thanks for joining us in the camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. I hope you enjoy hanging around with us. Coming up, we're going to focus on fall bass and how you can catch them in great numbers and a variety of different ways this time of year. And Ray I is talking fall turkeys a little later on. Right now, though, I'm going to focus on a fresh cup of coffee and maybe pitch another log or two on that fire over there.
Hey, everybody. It's
Boy, you blew that one. Let's try that again from the top, Gerald.
That really sucked. Hey, everybody. It's professional bass angler Gerald Swindle from Hayden, Alabama. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it or I'm using the bathroom. With Big Billy Kinder, outdoors.
Well, not the using the bathroom part.
Well, sometimes outdoors, that's the place to be.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and BSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, BSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
At Marksman Firearms, we're as fired up about hunting season as you are. We've got everything you need, from guns and ammo to accessories and specialized gear. Visit any of our Marksman stores, Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. And for more info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. If you need guns, ammo, accessories, or quality gunsmithing, the only place to go is Marksman Firearms.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we teach the Bible, nothing more or less. The simple truth of God's love for us, even though we are all sinners in need of His grace. He supplied that grace through His Son Jesus so that none would perish but have everlasting life. Come worship with us at 10:15 Sunday mornings on Litzy Road in Roanoke or in the boat or deer blind at csbiblechurch.org.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
We screened that porch in just for you. Glad you enjoy it. You're in camp with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
The results of the DSC Convention and Expo are seen all over the earth every day. We invest millions in the future of wild things and places. Your right to hunt, fish, and shoot, and for future generations as well. BigGame.org.
We're celebrating all of the great outdoor activities that fall brings our way. Part of that is tremendous bass fishing. Here's a conversation I had with Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan about a month ago.
Great first year for the Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour. It just couldn't have gone any better from my viewpoint. How about an insider's viewpoint? Are you happy with it?
Absolutely. We all came together. We got this thing done. We started a whole new tour, and we did it in just a couple months' time. And to come off like it did with the momentum that we had, the excitement that was there by all the anglers, the reception we got from the fans, was just a dream come true. And it was an awesome year. All I can say, it is a dream come true because it is such an exciting format, and to get it to come together like it did this year, and all the people who have come on board and are pulling the rope in the same direction to make this thing happen, the team, I guess you could say, which includes all of our anglers, all of the people that work at Major League Fishing and what have you, it's been an awesome year.
Yeah, it sure has. And for folks that haven't heard the story, a lot of people think that Major League Fishing was entirely born with Boyd Duckett and Gary Klein getting together and having a conversation. And that was a major part of this. But this format was kind of born on the bow of your boat years ago, wasn't it?
Well, the catchway release format in the tournament situation, a pro tour viability of that, of actually being a possibility and working, that was first demonstrated at the Toyota Texas Bass Classic right here in Texas. And it's funny because a lot of the same people were involved in the start of that have been very involved in Major League Fishing. So, yes, there is a heritage there, no doubt. And
yeah,
Big Fishing took that, format, which is so awesome to fish in, environmentally friendly. The fish care is second to none, as good as you could possibly have. And it just took that kind of forward into the next level, and that's where Major League Fishing is today.
Well, let's talk about fall. At some point, eventually, this big cap of heat. This big cap of heat is going to move on off somewhere, and we're actually going to have fall in the South. And when that happens, boy, it's a great time to go bass fishing. Talk to us about some of your favorite techniques in the fall when these bass start to transition from that real deep water.
Yeah, so that happens usually later in September, and pretty much the whole month of October is what you would call the classic fall pattern, even though it can still usually be really, really warm where you are. But that's the time when the lakes usually start to turn over, what have you. The shad start migrating. Lots of stuff is happening. The fish are they know it's fall. The days are getting shorter. You can see if you're out fishing, because even the birds know. There's ducks starting to show up and teal are coming through. And even though it still feels like summer, it's fall, and these animals know what's happening, especially fish and the bait fish. And the fall, one of the key things in the fall that it's true all year, but especially true in the fall, it is all about the bait. And if you find the bait, there's going to be bass close. And there are a couple things that usually happen this time of year. This is when, even though it can still be really warm, the backs of the creeks, it's almost like springtime in reverse. That is one of the best places to go, as far back as you can get. There's multiple early fall events on some of the tours we have and opens that are around that are won. You know, this is when guys get their jet boats and their flat bottoms and go way up in these creeks and back, you know, hard to reach places way up. That's the time of year when you can just kind of go back to your roots. It's like creek fishing when you were a kid. And that's pretty exciting. Top water is usually pretty good. The fish are aggressive. They're feeding. A lot of schooling happens places back like that. And if you can find the right conditions, man, you can take advantage of it and have a great day in the fall.
Absolutely, you can. So these shad are going to start moving up in these creeks. And what about those blueback herring lakes and some of our friends that have other bait fish? Are they going to see something similar in the fall? Are their bass going to make a move as well?
Well, I think what happens is a lot of the bait, it kind of in the main lakes, they kind of start to, it's a weird time of year. It's a transition, and they start to disperse. A lot of times they're shallower, and a lot of times they move in to the backs of the creeks or mouths of the major bays and what have you. And a lot of reason of that in the fall is water quality. There's simply usually more oxygen back in those areas in the fall than there are in the main lake, especially if you have a big turnover at whatever lake you have. And that's the reason why the bait make that move. They're looking for the better water quality, the you know, all the conditions back there, what have you. I think wherever you are, if it's blueback herrings, whatever, those are really crazy bait fish. they're shallow too. There's some deep, they're shallow. The deeper fish, the deeper bass usually are a lot harder to catch in the fall because they're a lot more suspended and more scattered. That's why it's kind of more consistent when you go shallow again, which is the way most bass fishermen are a lot more comfortable fishing. So it's a great time to beat the bank and then go farther back in these places. And utilize techniques that are fun. I mean, spinner baits, topwaters, square bill crankbaits, you know, jigging spoons, that kind of comes out a little bit later in the fall. But baits like that, you can move around and fish fast. And if you can find them, the fish are feeding and feeding hard. And that's what makes it very rewarding when you find that area.
You can pile a bunch of them up in a hurry in the fall.
Yeah, and they're active usually. They're really active when you find them, like I said. And then, like, it's pretty fun. I mean, you get to go fish the backs of these creeks, and it's pretty straightforward. You throw at stuff you can see for the most part. Keep your eyes out for balls of bait on the surface. You know, watch for the little disturbance that give away that there's bait there. And this is also the time of year when you really need to start paying attention to birds. Birds are, you know, the best fishermen out there. They make their living. They will die of starvation if they don't eat enough fish. And they typically eat bait fish, you know, shad, bluebat, whatever you have in your area. This is where the seagulls start coming down from up north. If you're in the south, this is when they start their migration too. A lot of them come south for the fall and winter. They will be hovering around if the fish are pushing the bait up. The gulls, terns, all these different kind of birds will usually be circling over, sitting around the bank. Whatever, they'll kind of give away the areas that are, you know, the stuff is happening. And then don't ever forget the old blue, Mr. Blue Heron. That is the best fisherman on the lake. And if this is actually kind of funny, a major league fishing in our ride around sometime when we have a very short amount of time to figure out an area in our cup events. I like to ride around as fast as I can, and I'm looking for areas that have the most blue heron because that gives away where the bait is as well. So don't ever forget to look for birds. So if you can put all this stuff together, birds, shallow, farther backs in the creeks, and you've been fishing all summer, and even way back, it's a whole different time of year.
You have a well-deserved reputation as being a big fish guy. You have caught some absolute giants in your fishing career. Is fall a good time? You know, we all think of spring and the spawn, but is fall a good time to catch big fish?
This early fall, yes, you can catch some big fish, but typically it's a really fun time for numbers when you can find them. And you can catch some big ones, but this early fall we have right now, transitioning into the late fall and early winter, that's when the consistency for catching big ones really starts happening. For instance, Lake Fork in Texas, September and October, you know, you're chasing this is a shallow bite, catching a lot of fish, a lot of maybe small, but it's a lot of fun. Your numbers are some of the highest days, you know, you can have all year on numbers. And as you get closer to November and into November and December, that's when the fish settle back down and start getting into their pre-wintertime haunts. And that's when the big fish will usually kind of start stacking up. And a lot of times, November and early December is one of the best windows of the year to catch a monster fish, especially on a lake like Lake Fork. That's almost like the February-March window is in the spring. It's really interesting. the in front of winter and then the back of winter, if you think about it that way.
And, of course, these fish are just gorging up, getting ready for that mm-hmm. winter period when everything slows down. So, like you said, you can catch a lot of numbers. Hey, KJ, I know you're going to be on the road traveling today. Be safe, and we'll be watching Major League Fishing.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Good fishing, everybody out there.
Major League Fishing's Kelly Jordan. Thanks, KJ. Hey, if you have a dog that suffers from chronic GI upset, the best thing you can do for them is Fortiflora from the trusted name Purina. Order it from Chewy.com.
Good morning. This is professional turkey hunter Ray I. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail, painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org, and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. truelifetaxidermy.org. When you serve up that white-tailed deer to your friends and family, I promise you, they're going to think you're feeding them beef if you had that animal processed at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing.
We know what to take away from the deer to make it the very best, and that meaning get rid of all the blood that's on it, all the fat that's on it, and it's hard to season raw meat, and that's what we're really, really good at. Our bacon-wrapped fillets are probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to a wild game piece of meat that's out there. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could serve it to anybody and they'll say, wow, that's a great fillet, but it's wild game. Because the way we season them, and then we cryovac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular fillet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
CCR, wildgameprocessing.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's five national championships. Take a look at our website, NSTRA.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit Joshua Creek.
Come share our campfire and a good story or two. The Dallas Safari Club presents Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Our hunting and fishing heritage is much too precious not to protect and nurture. That's our job at DSC, and we take our work seriously. BigGame.org.
Hey, we keep all of our past shows available at bbkoradio.com, which comes in really handy if you want to kill a couple of hours rolling down the road, sitting in the deer blind, a leisurely day on the boat. You can hear all of our past shows, bbkoradio.com. And if you listen weekly or would like to, but maybe the timing just doesn't work out, listen at your convenience. The BBKO Radio 2-Hour Podcast is available from all the top providers like Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, iTunes, and Apple Music. Fall turkey hunting differs greatly from what we do in the springtime, but it's still a lot of fun, and what a great tradition to go harvest that Thanksgiving turkey on your own. About a year ago, we talked to turkey hunting legend Ray I, specifically about hunting fall turkeys.
If there is a legal turkey season open anywhere, Ray I is more than likely in the woods, and that's exactly where you are today, somewhere in the Ozarks, aren't you, Ray?
Yeah, I'm in the Ozarks. It's Missouri's fall turkey season. It's open full month of October. Actually, I wanted to go ahead and tell you guys that I've been hunting fall turkeys in Missouri since 1975 when I took my first fall gobbler with a bow. So I've been doing this a while.
Yeah, you have been, and this is that's your homeland. There's probably not a sapling in those hills that you haven't passed by, leaned on, or camped next to through the years.
Pretty much so, yeah. Pretty much so, Billy.
Trying to reach you is very difficult. It reminds me of the old Green Acres TV show when they had to climb a telephone pole to make a phone call.
You have to find
the top of a hill somewhere.
Yeah, it gets pretty bad. You would think of today's technology, you'd have cell service, but it's pretty spotty down here in the Ozark. It's hard to get cell service.
Well, I appreciate you climbing the pole for me today. We're going to talk about hunting fall turkeys a little bit. A lot of guys overlook fall turkey season. They go once or twice in the spring, and then they really miss a great opportunity in the fall. Everybody's looking at those white-tailed deer, and they get fascinated by them, and rightfully so. But don't miss out on fall turkeys. It can be a cool hunt.
Yeah, very much so. It is overlooked, and fall turkey hunting for me is real turkey hunting and real turkey calling, and it's different than the spring. And one thing I always like to tell turkey hunters, if you're a spring hunter, you should fall hunt, because if you fall turkey hunt and learn about the social structure and the pecking order of the wild turkeys and the different types of calls you use, I call more in the fall, you'll be a better spring turkey hunter. And what a great time. You can hunt all day in the fall. The woods is pretty, and it's just a great time to be out and just to hear a flock of fall turkeys respond to a call and come in on a frosty morning. Nothing quite like it. Actually, for me, I prefer the fall turkey hunting over the spring.
Wow. You said a couple of things there that piqued my interest. You said you'll actually call more in the fall than in the spring. Is that right?
Absolutely. More vocalization in the fall. In the springtime, the spring season, turkey hunters are utilizing a very small window of opportunity when a hen calls to a gobbler, to a tom, and he responds to mate. But that's just a small window. That's just a little time in the spring. The rest of the year, turkeys are normal, and they call to each other. So in the fall, I hunt fall gobblers, the big turkeys, the old turkeys, and hunt those. You don't sound like a hen. You sound like a gobbler. You do a gobbler yelp or jake yelp, or purrs and clucks, and you challenge the gobbler in their pecking order. And I target fall gobblers, and that's my favorite turkey to hunt in the fall is the gobblers. And there's, to me, there's nothing like it, because the calling it challenges that turkey. They want to come in and fight or run you off, or you're a different voice. And it's so much more involved with vocalization. You'll hear more vocalizations from hens, all the turkeys in the fall, than you will in the spring, and you utilize those calls to call turkeys in the fall.
How much will you use a kiki run in the fall? I've talked to a couple of guys before that have had some success with that.
Well, it depends if I'm targeting small birds, young birds. If you're targeting hens and poults, I use a kiki quite a bit. The standard method, the age-old method of hunting fall turkeys, is to find a flock and to scatter them. And when you scatter them, they kiki to recall, so you use a kiki. You can do that. But I only use scattering as a secondary method. To me, I've always told turkey, if you get close enough to scatter them, you ought to just shoot one. But you can use the kiki quite a bit on a scatter, but I just move and call. The fall season, your key elements to kill fall turkeys is to find the turkeys, find the food source, find the turkeys. I roost in the fall. If you roost turkeys in the fall, get set up on them, that's when you're going to hear the vocalization. And then you challenge the pecking order. That old hen doesn't want another hen in there she doesn't know in her area and calling. And when you call the hen to hen and challenge a dominant hen, you're challenging the pecking order, and she comes charging in and brings the rest of the flock with them. And you also just move and call. If you don't get birds roosted, you can just go and set up in a good area that you know and call and wait for turkeys to come in. And you'll hear them call, and you'll call the entire flock in. And I hunt entire areas like that. And if the habitat doesn't change, the woods doesn't change, I can go this turkey season right now where I hunted 30 years ago instead of the same places and call turkeys.
Wow. A lot of people think turkeys will only gobble in the spring, but I can remember vividly years ago sitting out on one of my favorite fishing holes in October. It was a beautiful fall day,
right.
And there were gobblers going crazy all around me, right?
Yeah. The pecking order, that's hunters, because they spring hunt, they don't understand what all goes on with the social structure of wild turkey. Turkeys gobble year-round. Just with more intensity during the spring mating season sometimes. Sometimes in the fall, they'll gobble all the way to the call. Actually, on my Facebook, just Ray I on Facebook, I have a fall hunt posted of fall gobblers hunting with a flintlock, and you can watch some gobble and strut there. They gobble and strut year-round, but they strut in the fall for dominance, not to attract hens for mating.
Very good. And if we want to hear these vocalizations, we want to see you do it firsthand. It's all online. We can check your Facebook page. We can go to your website.
Right. Right. I have DVDs on my website all about fall turkey hunting. But if you want to hear it and see the turkeys reacting, it was a hunt that was on Midwest Outdoors Television, and it's on my Facebook page. Just go to Ray I on Facebook and click, and you'll see it there, and you can hear the calls.
Sure, absolutely. Ray, winter looks like it's coming in a little early this year. This week, North America getting its first big blast of really cold weather. What does that do to the turkeys when that big blast of cold air comes in?
It doesn't have much effect on them. They're fine. You know, they live out there year-round. It has more effect on us as hunters because we've been coming through the summertime, and it's pretty cold. We've had it's cold here. We got wind and cold and rain. But it doesn't affect the turkeys much. Actually, when it's cold like that on a still morning, they're very, very vocal on the roost.
Awesome. Hey, it's a great time of year to get out in the woods. Like you said, it's beautiful. It's comfortable.
Yes.
And the turkeys are active. And man, there's nothing better in deer camp than that good fried turkey in the evening.
Oh, love that fried turkey breast. That's my favorite, absolute favorite.
You bet. Ray, always a pleasure to talk to you. Give us the web address one more time.
RayEye.com is my web, and just put RayEye in Facebook, and it'll pop right up.
Gotcha. Ray, good hunting to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much, and good luck out there with everybody. Have a great fall.
This is a Big Billy Kender Conservation Minute, a quick focus on people making a difference.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see outdoor adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
Preserving what we love and educating our next generation every day. To learn more, go to BigBillyKenderOutdoors.com. Thank you.
Our celebration of fall wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk to my buddy Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie, about how to catch a boatload of specks in the cooler fall weather. We're going to talk to Waldo when I come back from the coffee pot.
This is the pig man, and we're about to shoot some swine. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about shooting some pigs with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Fort Worth's premier shotgun range. Conveniently located on West Loop 820, we're minutes from anywhere in the West of Plex. Do you need to raise funds for a local charity, or would you like to get your customers and clients together? We specialize in hosting events that do just that. Sporting Clay is the new golf, and we want to be your event destination. Offering two 12-station Sporting Clay courses, the largest five-stand in Texas, and a spacious event pavilion, lean on us to get your group together. Shotgun shooting open to the public or with a membership. Find all the details at DefenderOutdoors.com.
I've relied completely on Buffalo wool socks and gloves for about a decade now, and that's not about to change. When I first discovered Ron and Teresa Miskin's Buffalo Wool Company, it literally changed my hunting, fishing, and cold weather tolerance. Last year, after a South Dakota freeze that had hunters in our group dropping like flies before the hunt was over, I had no issues and was able to completely enjoy the hunt start to finish. When I shared my Buffalo Wool secret with them later, they were instantly convinced. Buffalo wool in harsh conditions had outperformed all of the other gloves and socks on that trip. They're even warmer than wool, and I feel the buffalo wool difference immediately after putting them on. All buffalo wool products are 100% money-back guaranteed, but you'll keep them. The Buffalo Wool Company is now selling bed covers that will keep you toasty, even on the coldest night. Check out the website and learn the secret of the buffalo. It's thebuffalowoolco.com. That's thebuffalowoolco.com. Fish the winter and hunt longer with buffalo wool.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Caseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Caseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per diem in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Caseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Bring the kids along. This is where heritage is guarded just for them. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
Our fall festival on the show today does include crappie fishing. Mr. Crappie Wally Marshall and I were talking about catching crappie in the fall a couple of years back.
Waldo, where in the world are you this time around? Because I never know.
Man, I'm on my way to Hugo, Oklahoma, brother.
Hugo? What are you going to be doing in Hugo? Are you getting ready for next year's tournament?
Next year's crappie tournament at Hugo Lake. We're talking about big time. We're going to do some big things next year at Hugo in May.
You always do, and I'm going to tell you one big thing I'm going to do at your tournament next year is not share my info with other people that decided they needed to fish my spot once tournament time came around.
Oh, man. I don't even know my mama where they're biting.
Well, we're going to talk about it right now. It's fall this time of year. These crappie, they start to move off those old brush piles and timber we were catching them on in the summer, don't they?
Well, I tell you what, Billy, fall is my favorite time to catch crappie because they will school up in large schools, several hundred crappie in one wad. I mean, you can just hammer down in the fall time, and I've got two techniques that is totally awesome for fall time crappie fishing.
Okay, and we're going to get to those techniques in just a minute, but first of all, we're going to find these fish. Where are they, Wally?
I'll tell you what, I like to concentrate on the creek channels, the tributaries that come into the reservoirs, and also out in the deeper waters down towards the dam. Those two areas produce more crappie on any lake in the country.
Okay, so no matter where you are, fall and this time of year on into early winter, that's where you're going to find them. Now, these fish, instead of being stationary, like on a brush pile or on a Bodart tree, they're going to be moving a little bit, aren't they?
Well, they're going to be up in these creeks, Billy. They're going to be on some structure or round structure and a lot of times chasing bait because the threadfin shad, minnows, and stuff like that start going up into these tributaries and the crappie are right behind them. They got plenty of food. They're comfortable. The temperature in the creek, the waters are pretty much a set temperature throughout the winter because it's got a little flow to it. But down at the dam, these fish are chasing large schools of threadfin shad out over 30 foot of water, okay? And they'll be on some drop-offs and ledges that even drop off into 60, 50, 60 foot of water. So I like the creek bite because it's shallow, 4 to 10 foot. If it gets a real hard front or cold, they'll drop off in those deep holes in those creek channels, maybe 16, 18 feet. But I like that shallow bite, and I like that thump on that rod.
Once you experience slow trolling or strolling for these crappie this time of year, and you figure out how it's done, you can just have a ball with it. Because like you said, Wally, you can just catch a ton of fish. Talk to us about that slow trolling or strolling technique.
Well, the slow trolling or strolling, it's not at a high rate of speed this time of year. What you're doing is you're setting out over that 30 foot of water, 30 to 25, and you can look on your hummingbirds and you can find the depth that the fish are at and set your bait accordingly to where the fish are. And I always like to keep those big shad balls, those big balls of shad on your depth finder, because if you got those shad, those crappie are nearby. And so what you're doing, you're rigging up with a double minnow rig or a double jig rig. I have the bullet weight double rigs. I've got the Trolltex the slow troll, the double drop. I've got all those rigs on the market. So you're actually putting two minnows or two jigs right there in front of those crappie at those depths. And it seems like in the wintertime, 30 foot is the magic depth here in Texas.
You're talking about your Trolltech double minnow rigs. That's what I use and prefer. And you've got enough weight on there to get that thing down there to those fish in that deep water.
Right. You've got to keep your lines taut, you know, straight down. And so I'm using a 3/4 ounce. Or sometimes if the wind gets up a little bit, I'll go to a 1 ounce to where to keep your, you know, you're fishing awful deep and you need to keep those lines down. Straight underneath the boat, you know, underneath your rods, and just stroll along those drop-offs in that deeper water and those ledges, and you can whack some big crappie in the wintertime.
And when we talk about slow, we're talking about half a mile an hour.
No, we're doing real slow. We're below a quarter, you know. It's just easing along, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And on my trolling motor now, once I get on them, see, I've got spot lock. You know, that's new with on the Minn Kota. It's amazing. And you get dead on the spot and you go to catch them, you just hit spot lock and it will hold you right there. It's unbelievable.
That's cheating.
I mean, you can get up and go to the Minn Kota, you can get up, get you a sandwich, you get. You know, and it's such a great, great trolling motor.
Yeah, I know it is. How about bridges this time of year? Those black crappie, they seem to like bridge piling, stuff like that. Are they going to be?
You can catch them. If you can find some bridges with some deep water on them, you can catch those black crappie around those bridge pilings right on the bottom.
Of course, we could go to Florida and just catch them in about 2 foot of water spawning all winter long.
Well, you know, right down there, you know, in Florida, this is their spawning season, you know, and they're probably already moving up in the bushes down there.
Yeah, but yeah, getting ready.
Texas to Florida, I can drive 10 miles and catch them or go 1,500 miles and catch them. I kind of like the my options of fishing around the house during the wintertime, because you never I might have to go out and shoot a quail somewhere.
Well, I understand that too. You bet. Hey, before I let you go, I want you to share a great Christmas shopping item for the outdoorsman, the fisherman. In your life, you've got a new measuring board with the folks at Buck Knives that's out this fall, and I've got one in my boat. I got the second one ever produced. You got the first one, and I got the second one. Tell folks about this and where they can find it.
It's the new NRG bump board, measuring board that I've designed that actually the whole board lights up. And so for daytime fishing, nighttime fishing, you can always get the correct measurement. So don't get caught with short fish. Get you an NRG bump board designed by yours truly, Wally Marshall, by Buck Knives, and they're coming to your local dealer soon. Billy, they just now got in the warehouse, and they're shipping them out now. I know Cabela's is going to have them. Bass Pro's going to have them. A lot of folks are going to have these because they're totally awesome. And you're not having to fight a measuring board, a light, and a fish all at the same time. Just lay it down on that board, and it tells you what the real story is. Either he's a keeper or he ain't.
Hi, I'm Chris Hurd with Guns and Goodies in Roundup, Montana. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, I think you should buy this nice little over and under right here.
We've camped on the ground and in five-star lodges. I've never found a more welcome camp than this one. The Dallas Safari Club presents Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
Make plans now to join us at the DSC Convention and Expo, Heritage, January 9 through 12. Heritage, one of the biggest conservation gatherings on earth. BigGame.org.
Welcome back to the Camp House at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. And hey, by the way, if you do plan to join us at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo in Dallas, January 9 through 12, I really hope that you'll put it on the calendar. Make sure that you plan to join us on the Trigicon stage. We have a lot of fun on that stage. We get together with all of our hunting buddies. Larry Wysoon is up there, Jim Zumbo, Jim Shockey, Craig Boddington, Ivan Carter, Shane Mahoney from time to time. I call it the Mount Rushmore of the hunting industry. It's the who's who guys, the go-to guys that have answers to your questions. We have a lot of fun with them. Really wish you'd make it a point to join us on the stage. We'll do that on Friday and Saturday of the four-day Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo Heritage at the Dallas Convention Center, K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center, January 9 through 12. This corner of the Camp House at Big Billy Kender Outdoors is brought to you by the world's greatest dog fuel, and that is Purina Pro Plan. Long before I ever talked about Pro Plan and the greatness of Pro Plan on the radio, I fed it to my hardworking bird dogs and my lovable lap dogs. It's a pleasure to talk about Purina Pro Plan because I know it's the best. Pick up a bag for your dog today at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. There's a formula built specifically for your dog. It's our fall festival on the show. We're talking about all the great things that the outdoors offers up to us in the fall. And man, this hour we're going to have a heavy dose of white-tailed deer hunting. And we're going to start it with one of my old hunting buddies, Pete Delkus, talking about some deer that really stick out in his memory. Well, Pete, it's finally here, fall. We've been waiting for this. All of the seasons are opening up and unfolding now. With deer season here, that's on top of a lot of people's minds. I know you've hunted deer all your life. Do you have a hunt that just sticks out above the rest you can share with us this morning?
Oh, gosh. There's two, of course, that come to mind. The first one is, you know, the first deer I shot. But the one that really sticks out in my mind is the deer I shot at and missed. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You always have that one. I mean, those are usually the most memorable ones, the ones that that wake you up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. You know, you shoot that nice deer, and you walk up to him a lot of times, and the air goes out of the horns. He shrinks
right,
a little.
Right. A little ground shrinkage,
but this deer has never shrunk.
Well, and actually, in my mind, it's unfortunately gotten bigger as time has moved on. But I remember, you know, before working here in Dallas and Fort Worth, I worked in Cincinnati, and Ohio, of course, is known for record-class deer. And I was fortunate enough to hunt on a pretty decent-sized piece of property. You know, for the Midwest, a couple hundred acres is a big chunk of land, but it was adjacent to an apple orchard where no one got to hunt. Well, I could hunt on the farm right next to that.
Wow. You talk about a food plot.
Oh, I mean, it was great. And there were just deer that we would see. I mean, just they would come and go all the time. And I couldn't put up a tree stand in this one location. It just wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right tree. But I was sitting on the ground, and it was a snowy morning. And, you know, you go morning after morning after morning. Yeah. You're tired.
Yeah.
So I'm ground hunting, and I've got this one little hole that I've carved into this brush, and I'm sitting right there, and I'm waiting for these deer to come along, how I've watched them from, you know, 300 yards away. Mm-hmm. I'm finally in the right spot. I'm positioned. The morning's perfect. The wind is correct. It's in my face. I mean, everything is right. I fall asleep. Okay? I fall asleep, and you know what I wake up to. And who knows how long I had been asleep. And it's shotgun only. So it's not like you're going to shoot 300 yards or something.
Oh, yeah.
I wake up, and I have this deer that I'm certain is at least a 150 class deer. Of course, in my mind, it has grown to 180 and 190.
Oh, yeah.
but he's
boone and crockett.
But it's reasonably, you know, 150 class, nice 10 point deer. I wake up and this deer's maybe 100 yards away. I rush to grab my gun, which of course spooks the deer.
Right.
In a total amateur move here, I grab my gun and I just throw it up like I'm shooting ducks, geese, or quail.
Right.
As opposed to a slug.
Right.
And I shoot. He stands there and looks at me.
Like, man.
And I'm like,
you ever heard of a range?
It was terrible. You know, and then, of course, right as I get ready to, okay, let's concentrate, focus here, let's get off this second shot, I then get off the second shot, he's running, and I can see the slug hit the dirt behind him. I've got one left. I shoot again, and at this point, I don't know, he's maybe 200 yards away.
What, you think you're John Wayne or something?
I have no idea. I throw up a third Hail Mary shot, he runs away, and forever that hunt is etched in my mind as one that just wakes me up in the middle of the night and haunts me. I never drew, you know, I go out there looking for blood, maybe some fur.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know. He just, you know, he lived to see another day, and it, forever that will haunt me.
Absolutely. What about your first deer? How old were you?
My first deer that I shot was a doe. I was 10 years old, shot him in southern Illinois.
With Dad?
With my dad. But the first deer I shot that was really, you know, not with Dad, but Dad was on the hunt with me. It was a 140 class whitetail in western Kentucky.
Oh, awesome.
And I shot him with my bow.
Awesome.
And Dad was there, you know, and my uncle was there. I mean, it was other than the one that I shot and missed, that's probably my most memorable deer hunt, just because it was the first buck I ever shot with a bow. You know, it was early season. It was late September. Beautiful deer. I think it scored 142. Just a typical, beautiful 10-pointer. And I remember my dad being there with me and coming up after I'd shot the deer and how excited both of us were.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we weren't in the tree stand together, but we could both share that that hunt and all those memories together.
Hi, this is Dean Ranke with Purina Pro Plan. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hey, Billy, nice Brittany's over there.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's Convention and Expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's Convention and Expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
Did you see Mark Daniels Jr. catch 70 pounds of Lake Oahe, South Dakota smallmouth bass during the Bassmaster Elite Series? I did. I watched him from Jim's boat where we were busy catching those delicious Oahe walleye. The folks at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort on Lake Oahe, same place that the elites stayed and launched, prepared them for us every night in their award-winning restaurant and bar. They do walleye 7 different ways, all terrific, but the beer batter is my favorite. Oh, and don't miss the USDA Prime Steaks, aged for tenderness and hand-cut on site. From the restaurant, it's every bit of a 60-second walk to your lakeside cabin with a sprawling front porch, big screen TV, and private bedroom and bathrooms. Time for a little rest, because Jim will pick us up again at the breakfast table tomorrow morning, and we'll head back out to world-class Oahe walleye and smallmouth fishing. Ask David and Angela about private charter jet service for your group to Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, springcreeksd.com.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged into battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore, men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist. Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail, painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org. And I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. truelifetaxidermy.org.
Up in the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Safari may be deep in the African bush, or maybe a trip with the grandkids to a neighborhood pond. No matter where you safari, we fight for you at the DSC, biggame.org.
Last October, I asked my friend, Hall of Fame bass fisherman Mark Davis, to join me on the show and talk about fall bass fishing techniques. And at that time, summer just wouldn't let go of us. October had been extremely hot, but things were about to change.
Mark, just when you think that summer's not going to end, old man winter blows in pretty hard.
He does, Billy. You know, seems like a week ago, we were all complaining about how hot it was for, you know, September, early October, and then here it is. All of a sudden, it's looking like... You know, highs in the 40s and stuff like that. So I hope we didn't just completely skip fall, but maybe it'll moderate.
I bet it will. And nothing affects our bass more than a weather change. You know that better than anybody on planet Earth. What does a big front like this that blew through this week, what's that make our bass do? Does it just lock them up?
You know, cold fronts in the fall are actually a good thing.
Hmm.
It might slow them down for a day or so, but more times than not, what it does is it bunches them up, schools them up tighter, and they start to feed better. I'm always looking forward to, especially early fall. Now, you know, later on in the fall, cold front can kind of have the same effect as springtime, but right now, these fish, they're wanting the water temperature to cool down just like we're wanting it to cool down. And so a cold front's a good thing. It might be challenging just when, you know, just after it goes through. Maybe you've got the north wind blowing and all that. But in just a day or two, you'll see it really helps the fish.
Well, that's good news. And our patterns change. And I'm a big fan of fall fishing. It's a lot more comfortable out on the boat than it has been for the past 5 or 6 months. And you can really get into a bunch of fish. Like you said, they're schooling up and they're on the move, aren't they?
They are, and fall is my favorite time of the year to fish, always has been. And it's not so much about catching big fish like in the spring. Not to say you can't catch big fish, you can, but it's more of a numbers game in the fall. And find those big schools where they're grouped up. And I know here at my home, the Kentucky bass, the spotted bass, they really schooled up right now. And we get these cold days, and fishing really gets good. And there's a lot of different ways to catch them too. But I'm looking forward to it.
You betcha. Let's talk about some of your techniques. What do you do now? First of all, the shad are going to be moving, and I've already seen that around here in Texas. It's old shad moving up into the creeks a little bit, and the bass are going to follow those shad. Do you concentrate on creeks this time of year?
For my largemouth fishing, it's mostly creek fishing. It is, and you know, Texas fishing, them fish, once that water temperature gets, mid-70s is kind of like a big turning point. Those shad start to move at the back of the creeks, and the bass follow. But, you know, the thing about fall fishing, and you'll have fish in the creeks that are biting. You'll have fish on the main lake that are biting. You'll have fish out in 25, 30 feet of water that you can catch. You'll have fish in 2 or 3 feet of water in the back of the creek that you can catch. And that's what makes fall fishing fun for me.
It's a real good time to pull out those Strike King crankbaits, isn't it?
It is a good time to crank, and as that water gets colder and colder, you know, the crankbait just gets better and better. You know, we get them water temperatures down into the 60s, and even, you know, later on in the winter, it get on down there into the, you know, mid to high 50s, it even gets better. Of course, you know, this time of the year, up here in my neck of the woods, if I'm cranking, it's funny, I'm either catching them way up shallow, like on a lipless bait or like a square bill, or I'm catching them out with my boat sitting in, you know, 25, 30 feet on a 6XD, you know, off of the ledge where they're, you know, 18, 19 feet of water. Don't seem like much in between. Either they're real deep, you know, out in the creeks, or they're way in the back. But that changes. These fish start moving, and they can be kind of hard to keep up with, too, especially we're getting this rain, and some of these lakes will come up. And you get some rising water, and that really puts those fish to moving as well.
Do you follow the shad, or are you looking for bass on your graph?
Well, both. You know, those deeper fish, you can graph them. Of course, when they get much, you know, shallower than, you know, 10 or 12 feet, they're hard to graph. And you can use side scan on them, but, you know, running right over the top of them, they get too shallow to see them, but... Oh, they run out from under your boats, what they do. People don't even realize that. That's what happens when you get up there trying to see them, you know,
yeah.
10 feet or less. But yeah, I'm looking for shad and of course, fish, too, if I can see them. And just covering a lot of water. You know, I love to crank. But I tell you, I throw a crankbait to find them and sometimes to catch them as well, but... A lot of times you'll find them on a crankbait, and then you'll catch them on a worm or a jig, you know, or something on a Carolina rig or something like that, you know, something a little slower. But then you have those days that you catch them all day long on a crankbait. You don't have to throw anything else. We like that, too.
You betcha. Absolutely. Hey, I can't let you go without asking about your health. You had to miss the elite season this year, and boy, did we miss you. I was at several tournaments throughout the year, and it's just not right when Mark Davis is not there. How are you healing up and coming along?
I'm coming along fine, Billy. I had that hip replacement, and I had my total hip replaced on the right side. And I asked the old doctor, why did my hip wear out? He said, well, it looks like to me you've been standing on one leg with one foot up on that trolling motor pedal way too long. So I guess that's what done it, you know, and I thought about that and thought, yeah, I do run the pedal with my left foot a lot, and I'm putting all my weight on my right leg, and I've done that, you know, 30 plus years, so, but anyway, wore it out, but hey, got a new hip and feel good, and in fact, I fished an MLF event and had a good event with that, and so getting ready to do another one of those, and then, of course, we've got a whole bunch of them coming up in January, so I'm ready to get back at it.
Good. We're ready to see you get back after it. How are the boys doing? I know that they've had a pretty good college career or high school career and had a pretty good coach on the boat with them.
Yeah, and the coach, the old coach is about quit them. I have been gone for the last couple of times they've had high school events, and they've done well. They didn't like the last one they fished. They didn't win, but they were second. And someone, of course, you're not going to win every one of them. We all know that. But they're doing well. They're still fishing. And in fact, last night they were hog hunting, and so I see they got a hog out here. So it looks like we may have some smoked wild hog at some point in time. So yeah, they're all hunting and fishing. That keeps them out of trouble.
You betcha, and I know it tickles you to death to watch them grow into this and have their own fun with it.
Absolutely.
Mark, sure good talking to you. Throw another log on that fire and don't venture too far from the coffee pot.
I'll be right here by that coffee pot. Don't you worry. Good talking with you, Billy.
From his home in Mount Ida, Arkansas, one of the newest members of the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, Mark Davis, talking about fall techniques. Hey, there's a Pro Plan formula for your dog, no matter how old they are, what their lifestyle is. Are they a couch potato or a working dog? There's a Pro Plan formula specifically built for your dog, and it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores.
Hey, everybody, it's Colorado Buck, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hey, Billy, where in the world did he go?
As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
This is Travis Mears with Defender Outdoors, Clay Sports Ranch, Fort Worth's new premier shotgun range. Located on West Loop 820, we are minutes from anywhere in the West of Plex. Clay Sports Ranch offers two different 12-station sporting clay courses, archery, the largest 5-stand in DFW, and a spacious event pavilion with seating for over 200. Inside the pro shop, we offer a wide variety of hunting and competitive shotguns for sale and rent, along with all the gear and shells that you may need for your next outing. Open to the public or with a membership, a good time with friends, family, or colleagues is easy to find. Find all the details at defenderoutdoors.com, and we look forward to seeing you at the ranch.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
The Vineyards Campground and Cabins has time and again been recognized nationally as a safe, clean, fun, and, well, perfect family destination. With all new full hookup 50-amp pedestals, pull-through sites, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every site, the Vineyards Campground in Grapevine, Texas will become a regular travel stop for you. Bring the whole family and enjoy our beautiful group pavilion, private swim beach and boat ramp, stand-up paddle boards, well-stocked camp store, and the friendliest staff that you'll find as you travel in your RV or bus. We're located on the shore of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and you'd never guess that we're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. Just outside the gated entry at the Vineyards, enjoy the charm of Main Street with exclusive shopping and delicious dining. Don't have an RV? No worries. Come stay at the Vineyards' fully furnished cabins. We can't wait to see you, so make your reservation now at vineyardscampground.com. See you soon!
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line five times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Sometimes our office is a bass boat. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
It's a fall celebration on the show today as we revisit some conversations with folks that we've had on the show through the years talking about fall and their specific passion in the fall, like Ray I earlier talking about how to go about hunting fall turkeys. Mark Davis and Kelly Jordan on fall bass fishing. Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, on his favorite fall techniques. And now we're going to kind of hone it down to white-tailed deer. With a pro bass fisherman? That's right. Gary Klein, 30-time Bassmaster Classic qualifier, mastermind behind Major League Fishing, Bass Fishing Hall of Famer, spoke with me a couple of years ago about his passion for bow hunting.
Gary, you have spent more time on the bow of a boat than you have on dry land, but you do also enjoy climbing a tree now and then, don't you?
I really do. You know, bow hunting is a passion that I have, and you know, anytime I can take my Matthews bow and go sit out in a tree, it just life's good. And you know, you always hear me say that I fish so I can afford to hunt.
Yep, that's right. Now, you guys, you pro bass fishermen, you're pretty busy early in the year, really about February, all the way through the summer and into the fall. But you've got that little window before Christmas where you can actually get out and do a little hunting, and you go hardcore, don't you?
Well, I don't know about a hardcore. I mean, I like to do everything right. And, you know, I'm a scent fanatic and, you know, wind direction and, you know, I've got multiple stands and I really pay attention to the animals and try to, again, just like fishing, develop an understanding for them. And that's one thing that I really have always enjoyed about bow hunting. It's up close. Just because I see the animal doesn't mean you're going to get a shot on it. You know, you may watch him walk in, walk around you and leave and you've never had a draw opportunity. So I like that.
Yeah.
And just because you even draw the bow back doesn't mean you're going to get the shot.
Right.
But it is. It's really fun. And it was such a great sport to introduce my daughters to. They love to bow hunt. They can sit in the trees for hours because they're there deer hunting, but they're observing the raccoons and the squirrels and everything else that's going on in Mother Nature. And one of the coolest things about bow hunting, first thing in the morning, you're in the tree stand, stars are still out. You actually get to listen to Mother Nature wake up.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
And if you've never done that, you may not know what Gary's talking about, but the visual blanket of God's glory rising in the east is spectacular. The sounds, just close your eyes and listen to morning happen. It's pretty fantastic. Do you see any similar traits between pro bass fishing, between bass fishing and hunting, bow hunting? Some same skills that you might share there?
Well, I think probably the most important thing is the sense of detail. You know, the amount of effort that we put in to get it right. In other words, my bow, I build my own arrows. I tune my own arrows. I do everything myself. It's just like in fishing, I build my own jigs. I tie my own skirts for certain conditions. And I practice. I mean, I shoot my bow almost every day. I actually shot it yesterday with my two daughters, and this afternoon we'll go back and we'll shoot again. I like that because now I'm a little bit in tune with the equipment. But, yeah, there's so many parallels to it. I mean, think about it. You hear me talk about fishing. I always talk about, you know, time of year and type of lake and main species, current conditions. And it's the same thing when you're bow hunting a white-tailed deer, which has a phenomenal sense of smell. I've seen some deer do some things that just blew me away. Yeah. I didn't think they were that good. But when you're sitting in a tree, you get to observe all that. Sense of smell is phenomenal. But again, bow hunting, I can't stress it enough, is current conditions.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And patience. So many good values and good things that we learn on the bow of a boat can transfer right over to the deer blind. Hey, did you have a good deer season, 2015, 2016? Did the girls get out this year and kill a big old buck?
Well, yeah, we did get to do a little bit of hunting, not as much as what I like, but, yeah, my youngest daughter got a real nice old 10-point with her bow. It was the first afternoon she sat in the tree, and I didn't shoot anything this year, but I enjoy to sit out and watch them and look at them and, you know, let them grow.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you got to, you know, my property, I do have high fence, so there's a tremendous amount of responsibility when you high fence a property. You have to manage a herd.
Yeah.
And that takes a tremendous amount of effort.
You bet. Absolutely it does. And you're all native deer on your place, right?
Yes, sir. I have not brought anything in.
Yeah, you're like my buddy up in Oklahoma, built a high fence to keep the trespassers, the night hunters out. That's a great idea.
Well, that does work. That does work very well.
You haven't seen Kelly Jordan climbing your high fence, have you?
Hey, he'd be more than welcome out there anytime.
Professional bass fisherman, angler, Gary Klein, talking about his love of bow hunting and the up-close experience that brings us with nature, critters. Hey, if you have a dog with special needs like an itchy coat, or maybe they're getting older up there in years and could benefit from added glucosamine in their diet, a super active dog, a couch potato, a puppy, a teenager, an older dog, doesn't matter. There's a ProPlan formula specifically built for your dog. Pick up the Purina ProPlan at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores in Oklahoma and Kansas, Arkansas, Texas, and Missouri. If you've never rattled in a whitetail buck, boy, that's something you really ought to try. Larry Wysoon is the master, and he talked about it with me.
Larry, I want to talk to you this morning, and I know everybody's eager to hear what you have to say about rattling deer. Let's talk about when is an effective time to rattle up those bucks.
To me, any time is a good time that you can get out when after the first scrape. Generally, once you start seeing the scrapes, not necessarily the rubs, because they're the velvet's coming off, but once they start scraping, after that point, you can start rattling up deer. And to me, what I do is early season, such as we're, you know, you get into that first week of October or so, or whenever in that early pre-rut, a lot of times those bucks spend a lot of time rubbing. So I spend a lot of time rubbing on a tree. If I bring the antlers together, I just barely kind of tick them together. As we get closer to the rut, I get a lot more aggressive in terms of making a lot of noise, kicking brush, hitting the horns, grunting, doing all kinds of different things. And then on the tail end of that, I kind of slow down again. They're still fighting, but just not as aggressive. In terms of, you know, how often I rattle or where I rattle, is I'm always going to rattle so that I can see downwind. Bucks, young, old, whatever, almost always will circle you to where they come directly downwind. So I've got shooting lanes set up to the left and right of me so that I can see that deer when he tries to come downrange, when he gets right down in front of you, to where he might be able to smell you. As far as the time, how often I rattle, it just kind of depends. Or if I get up and move, if I'm hunting a big place, I love it because I can pick up and kind of quarter into the wind and just rattle periodically as I go. But a lot of times, too, I'm hunting relatively small places and where I'm in one spot, and I'll sit there early in the morning, I'll rattle, I'll wait an hour, I'll rattle again, and I'll pretty much hunt all day long. So all throughout the day, I will rattle. And amazingly, sometimes you'll hit that one little hour time span where those bucks really respond, whereas all the rest of the day, they don't. So very often when people tell me, says, I've rattled, I just can't get anything to come in, that's always my first question. Did you rattle throughout the day? Because for whatever reason, I have no idea. there is some time frame, generally within the day, that a buck will respond to those antlers as opposed to all throughout the day.
I'll be darned. That's very, very interesting. And interesting that you say you're going to sit where you can see downwind. You're giving those boogers a chance to wind you before you see them. How many times that happened where you rattled in that big buck, and by the time you saw him, it was his rear end you're looking at, and he's headed the other way?
You know, all too very often like that. But that's why I say, when I set up, I expect that deer to try to come in directly downwind. But to do that, hopefully he's going to have to cross some of these shooting lanes that I've got to the left and the right of me.
Right. That's awesome stuff. Let me ask you this. You and Jim Shockey in a barroom fight, who wins that thing, Larry? I've got you taking him out.
I will, because I'll hit him from the back before he knows I'm there.
Hey, wait a minute. You're Larry Weiser, and you don't cheat.
Only with Mr. Shockey.
I'm going to refill the coffee cup. Then I'm going to ask Larry to join me on the show again from Deer Camp via cell phone to talk about buck fever. It's real. It happens.
Hey, everybody. It's retired Staff Sergeant James Johnson. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Teske's Outdoors is located just west of Weatherford on the south side of I-20, and we are a must-stop for gift ideas with the outdoorsman or woman in your life in mind. With thousands of guns from top names like Smith & Wesson, Browning, and Beretta, we have a huge selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, the perfect fit for your outdoor passions. Plus, everything you'll need in the world of ammo, optics, gun cleaning, and storage. And a full line of clothing for the hunter or fisher in the family. From Sitka, Under Armour, The North Face, Patagonia, Kool, Free Fly, Howler, and Ariat. And we can help you call in everything from elk to turkeys with top-of-the-line names like Primos. At Teske's Outdoors, we even teach hunter safety and CHL classes. Shop us online from any place at teskesoutdoors.com. That's T-E-S-K-E-Y-S outdoors.com. Teske's Outdoors is right on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford. Outdoorsmen and women like to be well-equipped. We also travel extensively and need restaurants, fuel, and rooms. And no matter where the fisherman or hunter travels in the U.S. or Canada, BBKO Radio is there. This just might be the perfect spot for you to tell us about your products and services. The BBKO Radio Network, an affordable way to reach every farm, road, and city with your message. To learn more, come see us at bbkoradio.com. At Marksman Firearms, we're as fired up about hunting season as you are. We've got everything you need, from guns and ammo to accessories and specialized gear. Visit any of our Marksman stores, Granbury, Mansfield, Killeen, or Wichita Falls. And for more info, go to marksmanfirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. If you need guns, ammo, accessories, or quality gunsmithing, the only place to go is Marksman Firearms. The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
This is Jim Shockey.
I'm Craig Boddington.
This is Jim Zumbo.
Join me, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Weissen, at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. I look forward to shaking your hand there this January.
With a who's who lineup on stage to answer your questions, surrounded by more than 1,800 exhibits featuring outdoor apparel and gear, artwork, jewelers, custom guns and knives, the finest licensed guides and DSC-approved outfitters from around the globe, free seminars, and world-class banquets with celebrity guests and speakers, DSC's Convention and Expo, January 9th through the 12th, is a must-see for outdoors men and women. The whole family will love the incredible taxidermy displays, and the auctions are the biggest and best, built specifically for the outdoors enthusiast. The best part, your ticket cost, the auction bid, the money spent at DSC's convention and expo will be spent wisely on conservation matters at home and around the globe. Please come to DSC's convention and expo at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas, January 9th through the 12th. Learn more at biggame.org.
I'm looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop time. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Wild sheep in the western U.S. water at desert guzzlers, providing life-sustaining moisture where there was none. Look closely. DSC fingerprints are there. BigGame.org.
Phone number here in the camp house, 1-877-820-BBKO. 1-877-820-2256. The Camp House website is bbkoradio.com. And be sure, if you would, to give us a like on Facebook, Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. That's going to earn you bonus entry opportunities for outdoor trips and gear that we give away. Kyle Chambers at Cinnamon Creek Archery is one of our archery pros here on the show. He and I had a conversation a few years ago about simple things that even the most established bow hunter needs to remind himself of. Things like buck fever. And body position when you draw that bow. Proper form.
Kyle, we get out there, we've practiced, we've worked hard, we're out there on opening morning, and that buck of a lifetime steps out. And bow hunters are not immune to buck fever. They get them, they get buck fever just like a rifle hunter, right?
You bet. I'd be lying if I said I ain't never had buck fever.
You get a little nervous, but that's the exact moment when we need to remember our practice, remember what we've worked on. If we're in a tree stand and that buck of a lifetime steps in down below us, or that doe, that whatever, and we want to take that shot, it's very important to remember our basics, right?
You betcha. You know, shooting from a elevated stand is something that really a question that we get often. And people always want to know, well, do I need to aim high? Do I need to aim low? Because I've always heard that shooting from an elevated position will cause me to hit high or low. And a lot of that has to do with form, bending at the waist, not dropping your shoulder. Because whenever you drop your shoulder to shoot down at that lower angle, what you're really doing is you're changing your anchor point. So if you'll keep your arm straight, bend at the waist, shoot down at the angle, it's not as big of a concern. There's many products on the market nowadays, rangefinders, that compensate for that shot angle. And depending on the distance and the angle, it really varies on how high or low that arrow could impact.
It's very important to remember exactly what you said when we're in that blind. Everything from the trunk, from the waist up, needs to be just like it is when we're standing flat-footed on level ground at the practice range. Bend at the waist. Safety first always when we go up in that tree. We need a harness, right?
You bet. Make sure you wear your safety harness. Everybody wants to come home safe to their families every night. Safety harness is crucial. I remember I've been using my safety harness now for the last 15 years, back when you used to just wrap one around your waist. Now they've come a long ways. They actually have a full body harness. Very, very important. I mean, it's always important to stay safe and make sure safety's number one when you're in the field.
Yeah, I can remember visiting a friend in the hospital one night that had fallen out of his stand and was hurt very badly because he got in a hurry and didn't use his harness, and he sold harnesses for a living. That's what he did. So we all forget, and we need these reminders. So if I want to come out to Cinnamon Creek Ranch and practice an elevated shot, which we would urge all of our hunters to do, can we do that?
You bet. We have a course called The Creeks. It has elevated stands as well as elevated blinds, ground blinds. It's designed for our hunters. We usually set up 3 or 4 targets for each stand, and you can shoot from those elevated stands and practice that shot.
Kyle Chambers, one of our archery pros from Cinnamon Creek Archery, Roanoke, Texas. We mentioned buck fever at the start of that piece. Larry Wysoon, I want to talk to you more about that because it's a real condition. It happens, and we need to give it a little pre-thought probably before it does shake us up.
You're exactly right, and it's something I continue to experience even these many years that I've been hunting. If you can see me, I'd be double overlapping almost because you describe a condition that, I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes one of the best or worst cases of buck fever I ever had was an old 6-point buck that,
we were trying to get rid of on a piece of property. And I mean, I was hunting with a pistol and he was out there about 75 yards. And by the time I pulled the trigger, I was shaking so bad I hit the ground about 15 yards in front of me. So, I mean, it's something that can affect all of us.
It can affect all of us. And it's amazing how it can overtake us. When that happens, it's a really good idea to back off of the shot for just a second, kind of gather your wits a little, I guess, huh? What do you do?
You're exactly right. One of the things that I try to do, as soon as that animal comes out, I'll look at his antlers. And then after that, that buck fever sets in for a little bit because it's something that I may really want to take, or maybe a big fat doe as well, too. And then immediately I start concentrating on where I want to place my shot and just try to totally take several deep breaths and try to get in a totally different frame of mind to where my job becomes to put that animal down as quickly and humanely as earthly possible. And with doing that, I have a tendency to kind of get that adrenaline level to kind of come down just a little bit, and then I can make sure that I know where the crosshairs are, where the sights are when I pull that trigger. But even so, I mean, there's a certain amount of excitement, but I think some of the things that you need to do sometimes is just kind of turn away from that animal for just a little bit. Take a deep breath, you know, maybe look back at him and then start resuming the operation of trying to put that animal down.
Yeah, it's really important that we not get in a hurry. And I know that our shot window sometimes is just a matter of seconds, but that's usually when something bad happens, a missed shot or a wounded animal, something like that, when we rush our shot. You're exactly right. Turn away from it. And the last thing we want to look at is that set of antlers sitting up there.
You're right. Like I said, I'd look at that. To me, one of my primary things is I want to hunt mature animals. I want to take mature animals. So I finally, after all these years, I looked at the antlers. Yep, he's got both antlers there. Yes, he's the style that we're looking for. My gosh, he's big. And then, again, look at the animal in terms to make sure that he's a mature animal. And then I start concentrating on where I want to put the shot and try to, even before the crosshairs or the sights go up, I'm imagining where those sights are going to be. Then when they come up, it seems like I can slow down a little bit in terms of not rushing the shot, because that's something that happens very often. I mean, somebody see a big animal, oh, my God, I got to get him on the ground now, and bang, and you missed.
Yeah, that's happens. Exactly right. Yeah, it does. And it's amazing to me how it can come about. Like you were talking about that old 6-point you shot, and
oh,
you
yeah.
had killed many, many deer before that. It can happen to even a seasoned hunter, but you know who seems to be kind of immune from it, I've noticed through the years, is kids. We worry about them
kids
the most. But when
and
it comes
ladies.
Time for that shot, and ladies, they focus. They focus, listen to what they've been told, and do a good job.
You're exactly right. I've taken a lot of kids hunting over the years, including my own and my grandkids and all that, and they seem to be so much calmer. But as I said, for the most part, most ladies that I've ever hunted with are very, very, they're, you know, you say, there's a really nice buck. No, you know, she'll say the one with the great big antlers. Okay, the gun goes up. No heavy breathing, no fast breathing, no increased heart rate or anything. Bang, the deer goes down on the spot. And then as they start walking up to this animal, they got their voice, you know, increases to where it's so high-pitched you almost can't hear it, and the knees start shaking. And I've often said if there was a feminine trait that I, as a male, could have, it would be that one. So, and kids do the same thing. I mean, they seem to be I've seen some people, some ladies and kids get excited to start with, but for the most part, not like some of the guys that I've taken out hunting. I've taken out some very seasoned hunters that missed a deer by 30 yards because they had such a bad case of buck fever.
Yes, sir. It happens. So when it happens, guys, if it happens to you, take a deep breath. It's important to remember to breathe. And like Larry said, focus on that target spot. Focus on that target spot.
That's exactly right.
Larry, I know you're hunting today. Good luck. Go get them, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Can't wait for it to talk to you the next time, Mr. Billy. We'll see you. Good luck to everybody.
Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. Boy, this has been fun today, talking about rattling deer and catching bass and crappie in the fall, and bass fishermen out bow hunting, fall turkeys, and buck fever. I want to thank you for spending time with us today in the camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, and I sure do want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together. Next week, it's our annual trip to South Dakota. It's time to go pheasant hunting. Pheasant numbers are good in South Dakota. So my buddy David Heelan, well, he's just waiting for me up there at the lodge at Spring Creek Resort. We're going to turn the dogs loose on him next week. I sure hope you'll make it a point to join us right back here in this old camp house. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.
Rooster!